You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The NASCAR Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Bet $100 at WynnBET and get a $100 free bet. Head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET to claim your free bet today. We're also brought to you by the SGPN Fantasy Football Podcast. They're giving away an autographed DeAndre Swift jersey and a merch store gift card. Get all the details by following them on Twitter at SGPN Fantasy. We're also brought to you by the MLB Gambling Podcast. They're giving away an MLB jersey as part of their wild card playoff contest exclusively in the SGPN app.
Hey, everybody. If you play fantasy football, especially in auction leagues...
And or you're a whiskey fan.
Yes, exactly. Check out the Sports Gambling Podcast fantasy football channel show, Old Fashioned Football.
Coming to you every Tuesday morning, give us a listen. We'll bring you the latest fantasy football data, including...
The injury report.
Studs and duds.
Waiver wire targets.
And suggested fab.
Market movers. After all, we are the Marks.
He is my hubby.
And she's J Mark's wifey.
And we're bringing all this to you while drinking an Old Fashioned and giving you our honest review of a different whiskey every week.
All that and more. Hop on over, give us a listen. Come for the football, stay for the whiskey.
This ad's almost done.
Going once, going twice.
Sold.
Drivers, start your
strap in and pull those belts up tight as the Sports Gambling Podcast Network presents the NASCAR Gambling Podcast.
I'll wreck my mom to win a championship. I'll wreck your mom to win a championship.
With all the news and the best bets for your NASCAR weekend.
It refrains me from not beating the out of you right now because you ask me stupid questions. But since I'm on probation, I suppose that's improper to say as well. If you could talk about racing things, we could talk about racing things.
Now, here are your hosts, Rod Villagomez and Cody Zeeb.
Steady climbing the ranks of the SGPN Network top podcasts. It is the NASCAR Gambling Podcast here on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. He is Cody Zeeb. I am Rod Villagomez, and we are about to take down some of the big hitters in the SGPN world and all of the major sports. So, Cody, thanks for coming along for the ride from day one, and for all of you for listening and making this part of a gigantic rocket ship. I just can't say thank you enough as we kick this episode off because we just found out a couple days ago that we are steady on the climb and I'm excited for it. And Cody, I know you are too.
Yeah, agreed. Things are booming and over at SGP. September was a record month, over a million downloads on the network. Super awesome. I think we're up to like 29 shows on the network now. We're obviously, well, you've got half of them, but I'm blessed to be on two of them at least. But yeah, man, it's impressive to see how strong we're holding in, even during football season and everything. And that's all thanks to everybody who's listening. So we just want to say we really appreciate it and we're glad you've stuck with us and continued our winning ways, at least so far.
Indeed. Again, this is the NASCAR Gambling Podcast. You know that already. But today, of course, is the DFS part where we take a step back and give you some DFS plays at every price range. But Cody has alerted me to the fact that there is a lot of news. I had my head in the sand today, folks. I'm going to tell you right now, my other assignments that have come up over the last couple of days have taken me out of the loop as far as NASCAR is concerned on Twitter. But that's why Cody's there, to keep up with stuff like this. Cody brought a handful of news today and some shocking stuff, to be honest with you, as we go across.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like we had a lot to talk about on the last two podcasts, and it's like, okay, we've gotten all this news out of the way. Like, today might just be a real short DFS episode, and then it's like, bam, no thank you. So, after the Talladega race, we've seen this all year. NASCAR's always done this for years and years. They will just randomly take two cars back to the research and development center, inspect them, tear them down. There's always a lot of controversy. Why wasn't this found in post-race inspection, pre-race inspection, all this stuff? There's only so much they can do without actually taking the car physically apart at the track. And so that's why they do this. It's checks and balances, because you know at any point your car could be selected, and we see it results in penalties. So it was Kevin Harvick, Martin Truex Jr.'s cars. Those were the ones taken back. Martin Truex Jr. car passed fine. The Kevin Harvick car did not. So they've not. So what NASCAR released was that it was a modification of vendor-supplied body parts affecting aerodynamics. Bob Pockris believes that it was something to do with the deck lid on the back of the car from what he's heard. NASCAR has not released any more details. We'll see if we get them. But they get the same penalty that we saw Brad Keselowski and the 16 get early on in the season. NASCAR is not messing around. So Rodney Childers, the crew chief, suspended four races, fined $100,000. Kevin Harvick loses 100 driver points and 100 owner points, which most likely just means he finishes 16th. Since he made the playoffs, he's going to finish 16th in both those, because that's, well, I guess maybe he could pass Bowman because Bowman's not racing, but it limits the team's options for actually getting a decent finish on the points. Again, we talked about with the owner points, you know, the better you finish, that's where you actually get paid. So Kevin Harvick never was on Twitter ever prior to like the last 2 months, maybe. And like he had like four tweets out, and they were obviously like promotional tweets and stuff. But he's gotten obviously been pretty vocal here lately, as has Childers both. I mean, Kevin Harvick came out with shirts that said Happy's Crappy Auto Parts or something in reference to the car. Him and his crew chief have been very, very outspoken. So Harvick quote tweets the story from NASCAR, and he says strange. That was it. One word, strange. Then Rodney Childers, the crew chief, quote tweets it from NASCAR and says shocker. So they're obviously thinking that this is NASCAR saying, you want to talk shit? Let's play. We own the sport. We run the sport. So you can take that either way as you will. I mean, is Rodney Childers going to push the limit always, try different things? He just talked about it. He just made his 500th race start as a crew chief, and they were talking about the tire pressure things, and he said, in the 499 previous starts, every single one of them, I didn't go based off the recommended tire pressures. Like, he's one of the best crew chiefs in the garage. He knows what he's doing. He always has pushed the envelope. They're out of the playoffs. They really don't have anything to lose. Yeah, it sucks to miss four races. Yeah, the fine sucks. We talked about that with the Ty Gibbs thing, dropping the bucket for these guys and these teams. Honestly, in the points thing, again, it's going to cost them some money, but, you know, what did they maybe learn from this or whatever? Were they probably trying things out? That would be my guess. They obviously think it's a witch hunt because of the comments they've made. Could be either. Could be a little bit of both. They could have said, we're going to randomly select you because of this. And then, you know, they still failed. Who knows what the deal was. But, pretty exciting day in the NASCAR Twitter world from that part of it alone.
You know, that's like when you're at work and you don't say anything for a very long time, and then all of a sudden you start talking about, you know, maybe how late you're getting kept, or, you know, start bringing up some, and then all of a sudden you notice that your work's coming back and your boss is nitpicking a lot more than normal, and you're thinking to yourself, maybe it's because I said something, and maybe
or I go on vacation to Colorado a couple of years ago, and I come back and I have a random drug test the next week. I'm like, really we're doing this? Okay.
You know, whatever. Honestly, that kind of happened to me in that I went to a 311 concert and I came back, and I was joking with my friend, because, you know, I'm in the National Guard, and I was joking with my friend, and I said, watch, I'm coming up on that random list of folks. I mean, obviously did nothing at that 311 concert, but by the same token, I come back and all of a sudden it's like, hey, Mr. Villagomez, you are now going to be in. And I was like,
Yeah, this was, shortly after that, you know, Colorado had just made weed legal. It was still kind of newer and all that. And it was like, I mean, I passed the drug test fine. I still have the job, but it was funny because it's like, randomly, huh?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Your random selection is very random.
Yes, very, very random. But yeah, so there was that. And then that's not even the end of the news. Colic Racing, they had had scheduled for like the past month this date where they were going to release drivers info and stuff, leaked out. It was the last weekend, I think, that AJ Allmendinger would be moving to the Cup Series. So from the 16 Xfinity ride into the 16 Cup ride full time, Justin Haley was going to be back. He already had a multi-year deal, but they did confirm that today. So those two drivers will be full-time on the Cup side of things. Landon Castle will be back in the 10 car on the Xfinity side of things. Chandler Smith is going to move from the Truck Series. He obviously races the 18 truck for Kyle Busch Motorsports right now. He's going to move into the 16 full-time for Colic in the Xfinity Series. And they said they would like to keep Daniel Hemric. And I'm trying to find a reason why, and I'm not really sure what that is. But their funding is not there right now. Hemric doesn't bring a lot of sponsorship with him, so I think that's going to be an issue with him. I mean, that's something very normal in these series. A lot of guys get these rides because they bring sponsorship money. Not necessarily that they're not talented. Hemric won a championship last year. You know, he ran good in that 18 car. We give him a lot of crap because he's not doing good this year, and he, you know, couldn't hardly win other than that one race last year. But you know, guys like Michael Annett stayed around in the Xfinity Series so long because he brought the Flying J sponsorship. You got Brandon Jones. He's been in the Xfinity forever because he's got the Menards, the Ream connection, all that. So that's pretty normal. Something that's notable about this is Toyota. Obviously, the Kyle Busch Motorsports trucks are Toyotas right now. Chandler Smith, a Toyota driver, they lose him to Chevy. Toyota has a really good pipeline for developing drivers. Unfortunately, they don't have a lot of rides at the Cup Series level with just six now, but for a while it was just I guess they had the four Gibbs cars and then you had the Furniture Row car and the Levine family car, but those were kind of whatever. But they have a really good pipeline, but nowhere to put them. They've lost guys like William Byron, guys like Bubba Wallace. There's been other notable Toyota drivers that left the Toyota stable and moved to Chevy. This is going to be another one. You know, who knows where Chandler Smith goes down the road, but a big step for him. Obviously, KBM is probably not going to be a Toyota thing anymore with Kyle Busch moving to Chevy in the Cup Series. They're still working out the deal. They've not officially announced anything, but Toyota has moved on from Kyle Busch, basically. They're going to invest their money into David Gilliland Racing, which currently has the one of Haley Deegan, the 17 car that rotates, and then what is the other car they have, or truck they have? Gosh, it just slipped my mind. I can't even think of it.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time coming up.
Is it the Zane Smith? Yeah, the 38.
The 38.
Right?
Popped in my head. The 38. Car. Yeah.
That's the other DGR truck. So they are going to leave Ford, and they are going to move to Toyota and basically be the new. It sounds like be the new pipeline team, the new KBM in the Truck Series, and they are going to be a four truck team, which also then affects Haley Deegan. We talked about her making her first Xfinity Series start at Vegas coming up. Well, she's a Ford contracted driver and has contracts through Stuart Haas Racing. They had a partnership with DGR, whatever. So like we kind of talked about before, this most likely, we kind of figured that Ford probably wanted to move her up into Xfinity now anyways. I would imagine we'll see an announcement soon, whether it's the 98 Stuart Haas car, whether they add a second car back. They've had multiple cars before. They had the 98, the 00. They've had other ones. So whether they do that or whether she goes in like the SS Greenlight, the 07 car, like she's racing that Stuart Haas affiliated. But a whole big shakeup throughout all of NASCAR, kind of with, again, more of these dominoes falling, which we had talked about from the Kyle Busch news. Like, a lot of this has to do with the Kyle Busch news. The Allmendinger thing is not related, but the Chandler Smith thing, which then leads to, you know, some of these other guys and gals with Haley Deegan as well being affected by all the dominoes falling into place. So it'll be interesting to see how the rest of that shakes out, kind of who the Toyota drivers end up being. John Hunter Nemechek, we still don't have any news on him. Does he go over to DGM and race their car, or DGR and race their cars? Does he move up to the Xfinity Series and Gibbs cars? Obviously all stuff we can get on later on as we get the news, but a lot of dominoes in the NASCAR world kind of falling today in place with all of that news.
And that all happened in 24 hours. That's an insane news
just
cycle.
Recorded last night, Rod. Jeez.
Like, literally, can they just push pause for just a second? Look, we still got races to race, man. I don't know what's going on. All this off-season stuff can wait till the off-season. We still have 2 months to fill in that area. So
we're going to have plenty of time to break down all these changes and everything then, too, for
actually,
sure.
Yeah, we will.
We can get really deep into the weeds with some of this stuff. That's going to be fun.
That's the good stuff. And then, obviously, when the future odds start coming out for the next season, oh, man, I feel no lack of content for us to cover as we start to get closer to the end of the season. All right, Cody, well, then let's do this. Let's step away for a break, and we'll come back and start giving them some drivers to target in their DFS lineups. So let's get back to it. But first, let's ask you, you're thinking of joining WynnBET. Well, now's the perfect time. New customers who bet $100 get a $100 free bet, plus the WynnBET Casino is always open 24 hours a day, where you can get a 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000. Looking to join the WynnBET Biggest Winners Club? Whoever hits the biggest parlay on WynnBET odds-wise gets a $1,000 free bet. Last week, someone turned $6 into $4,000, plus they got a free $1,000 bet. WynnBET, truly hashtag DGens only. So much to choose from. All you got to do, head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET so they know that we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions, WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state. Playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. You watch football? Yeah, you do. You need Fubo TV. Fubo TV gives you complete coverage of college and pro football with NFL Red Zone, plus games in 4K at no extra charge. You get over 100 channels of live sports and entertainment for a fraction of the price of cable. Go watch on all your devices and never miss a game or an episode of your favorite shows with the included cloud-based DVR. Plus, no contract, no commitment, and you can cancel at any time. Right now, you could try Fubo TV free for 7 days and get 15% off your first month. Just go to FuboTV.com/SGP. That's FuboTV.com/SGP. DFS. NASCAR DFS. Obviously, you can get in on a contest every week in the Discord. Cody always puts out a link. And has been for many, many years. That's basically, Cody, I think, how our friendship began. I joined the Slack, started playing in the DFS, started taking all your guys' money, and then promptly decided that I would rather have you on my side than against you. So that was fun.
Yeah, that contest has been going for quite some time. We've got the Sports Gambling Podcast group on the site there to use. And then, just shared the link in Slack, and there was always a few of us doing it, and then we've moved it over as we've obviously grown into Discord now and share the link there every week. Been putting out truck and Xfinity ones too. Not a lot of people are big takers on that. I can always count on Hard Flex Bro from the Discord. He's always in there trying to get at me. We split that this week. I think I got the trucks, he got the Xfinity, but it's always a good time. And then, you know, every once in a while, if you beat me like the Guindy 500, he likes to talk his shit then. But
it's so much fun. I love it.
It's a good time.
All right. As we do each and every week, though, we break down three different drivers for you at three different price points. I feel like I cheated a little this week, and I'll tell you why later. But we always start out with
one of my drivers. I'll tell you that.
Look, bro. I got
Rod beat me to the document, which he creates, by the way.
Well,
but normally I got in there.
Normally I give you first crack at it.
Generally,
so.
Yeah, I was a little late to getting to it today. I was a little busy this afternoon, and then I go into the doc and I start typing in the name, and I look up and I'm like, motherfucker, he took it. So at least you know there's one guy we really agree on this weekend. You'll have to wait for the big reveal on that one.
We've been hosts for 66 episodes together. I'm pretty sure I know you by now.
yeah, true.
All right, we give
you left me my big one, so I was happy about that. I figured you knew which one I was going to take at the top.
Well, yeah, I definitely knew that one, yeah. But we give you a high price, a mid price, and a low price driver. Like I said, kind of fudged it a little bit this week, but whatever. So we'll start with you, Cody. As if anybody who listens to this show with any sort of regularity already knows, but go ahead and tell everybody what they already know.
Yeah, so big shocker here. My top guy is going to be Chase Elliott. I laid out the case in the betting episode. He's obviously, I'm a big fan of his, but he's also the best road course racer there is. He should have been in the, he should have finished in the top five in all five road course races this year. The two he didn't was the pit penalty at the end of the stage. I think it was the second stage for whatever stage at Sonoma that cost him. Still came back to get, I think, like an eighth place finish in that one. And then he was second on the green, white checkered going into turn one after the restart at the Indy road course, got just dumped and destroyed there, ends up like 16th, but was running up front all day, leading laps. Road courses, again, are more reliant. There's obviously less laps. There's less laps to lead. There's less fastest laps. So it's going to be a lot more reliant on place differential and finishing position. Finishing position is extremely important. And Chase Elliott is a guy who's going to get you finishing position. He's going to get you fastest laps. He's going to get you laps led. The way I envision this weekend going is he starts in the top two cars. Actually, I need to see what his pole bet or odds are because I'm planning on betting that as well. I think it's just going to be a Chase Elliott weekend. He has nothing to lose. He can just go out there, be himself, drive his race. He's been good here. He's won here multiple times. He's a streaky driver. He won last week at Talladega. He's going to carry that momentum forward. He's trying to grab those extra bonus points going forward into the next round. Again, he has seven road course wins. He's got 3 second place finishes at road courses. And he hasn't won any this year, as shocking as all that is. And as good as he's been, I mean, even at like Road America, he dominated that race and Reddick just ran him down at the end. He couldn't, you know, couldn't be stopped, but it's Chase Elliott for me. He's going to get a good finish. I don't care where he starts. He's going to lead laps. He's probably going to be pretty popular. So, you know, as we always suggest, fade him in some places in case something happens, something breaks, he wrecks, has a bad day, whatever. But for me, he's kind of just going to be my first person that I'm going to build around no matter where he starts. And I'm just all in on Elliott this weekend. Him to win this race is probably going to be the biggest bet I've placed this year. I'm very confident in him this weekend, and I'm going to ride that all the way.
So you like Elliott. That's what I'm getting out of this, right?
Noted, right?
No, listen, when you are as young as you are and you're already third on the list all time of road course wins, granted, I get it. I know that there's been more road courses over the last few years, but still, I mean, there's a lot of drivers that aren't third on that list as far as, and they've all had the same shot. So yep. For him to be that dominant, and we always talk about him and write about him when it comes to these road courses, and you just know that he is going to do well. You're absolutely right. So
randomly out of nowhere too, like no road course racing background. No, you know, he wasn't like one of those guys who raced in like, you know, street type cars on track. Like some of these guys like Allmendinger, Cindric, you expect those types of guys to be good because they've got that background. Elliott didn't really have it. And then it was just like, you know, unleashed, and he was just really good at it right from the get go. And he hasn't looked back. Obviously, seven wins on road courses. Most NASCAR drivers don't get seven wins in their career, period. And he's got five this year already. And none of them have been road courses. If you'd have told me at this point in the season, he's got five wins on the season, I'm betting at least three, probably four of them on road courses. Five wins, none on road courses. He wants to get a road course one. He still wants to be the top road course guy. That's what he's known for. So I'm all in on Elliott this weekend. And I am a fan, but don't take that as bias because I've faded him at points this season as well. Now I've ridden him a lot, but he's also been the most consistent driver. We saw the points lead that he built up and won the regular season before even getting to Daytona. So I know when to play him and when not to, maybe even more so because I am a fan. You know, it's like when you watch your NFL team or your college team and you're like, I know their strengths and weaknesses. You kind of know what's going to happen. So don't take my fandom bias. I can set that down when it comes to winning bets, as I've proven with Denny Hamlin all season.
Oh, that poor 11 car. But yeah, I mean, there are some people that are sickeningly good at things from the get-go, and yes, Elliott is one of those. So definitely load him up. He is going to be popular. So definitely take a step back on a couple of your lineups and go elsewhere. And let me give you where else to go, and I'll give you Kyle Larson. He's $10,300, just a little bit underneath Kyle Larson or Chase Elliott. But, you know, they are both Hendrick Motorsports teammates. And, You know, look, it's not for nothing, but Kyle Larson pretty much made himself a pretty decent name once he jumped in that five car as a road course contender. You go back to all the way his first road course as a driver of the number five. That Daytona road course was a horrible day for him. He finished 30th, but then he ripped off a second place at COTA. He won Sonoma, 16th at Road America, but came back and won Watkins Glen, third on the Indy road course, won the Charlotte Roval here last year. Obviously, we know that that could have been Chase Elliott's, but you know, his teammate ended up winning it anyways. This year at COTA, some bad luck. Sonoma pit strategy screwed him there, but he came back with a third place at Road America. Damn near took out Ty Dillon midair. Indy finished 35th, but came back and won Watkins Glen. So Kyle Larson, always dangerous on road courses. I mean, absolutely always dangerous on road courses. He has not put together the type of season that you want to see out of a former champion, out of a champion from even last year. But by and large, he still managed to keep himself in contention and within striking distance of actually winning this thing if he can put together a few good races. And what better racetrack to do it on than on this Roval, in which he has won, which he did win last year. And here's the thing about Kyle Larson. Like, there are times in this early in the season where you can say, I'm going to make a strategy call, like he did in Sonoma, which led to a 15th place finish. He was chasing points. He was chasing a different type of strategy. You can't do that here. This is it. This is a cutoff race. Granted, he's got a little bit of a good cushion, but anything can happen. He gets wrecked out again like he did in Indy. He could be on the bad end of that cut line if everybody else has a better finish than him and, you know, the stars align or whatever. So he has to go out, and he'd love nothing more than to win this race like Elliott did last week. That way he doesn't have to worry about anything. And for Kyle Larson, a track like this, a run like he's on right now as far as just being able to go out and run clean races, I definitely would take him and load him up in some of yours if you want to step away from Elliott for a couple of your lineups.
Yeah, agreed. He's another great play. Obviously, we talked about him as well on the betting show. A very, very good road course racer. Knows how to get it done. He is only 18 points above the cutoff line, so he knows he needs to show up. He needs to run his type of race, and I think he will. I think there's multiple ways you can play this where you can – if you do Elliott and Larson, that's a little bit risky. You're kind of at road courses. You kind of need to pick your one guy you think is going to lead a ton of laps. I think there is scenarios where you could play both, though. They could easily split leading this race. One of them leads half. The other one leads the other half. They finish first and second. That would be ideal. So I think there's multiple ways you can play it. I would probably say you pick one of them and then build out from there as far as strategy-wise, but again, as crazy as year's been, you can just plug in anything and everything, and you never know what'll hit.
Especially for some of these multi entries, like if you're gonna put in 20 entries in some of these, or heaven forbid 150, I don't know how you guys do it. I honestly, one or two is enough for me. I can't do 150, man.
Yeah, I've done a few of the 20s sometimes, and it gets, after a while, you're like, man, how many more combinations of stuff that I feel okay putting in here can I possibly find? Like,
that's where the optimizers come into place, right? That's where everybody just starts running their algorithms, and man, I ain't got time for algorithms. I literally just want to put them together.
Like, as Kramer says, we're handcrafting this, all right?
Yeah, there you see? That's what I'm talking about. We handcraft. We like to do this. We're not machinery. We love to do this as a human being. So, all right. So we got Kyle Larson. We got Chase Elliott. Obviously, the two Hendrick drivers who have cemented their names in road course glory or in the circuit over the last couple of seasons as our two top price drivers. We're going to step away for a second, come back with some mid-tier drivers. I have a feeling that this is the one where I sniped Cody, but I'll oh no. Okay, that's fine. We'll just come back to that there on the next one. But let's step away and come back afterwards with our mid-price drivers. But let's get to it. Let's talk about the Elias Game Plan app, shall we? Did you ever wish that before every NFL game, you could get up-to-date and accurate information before placing bets or locking in your fantasy lineups? Well, now you can. With the Elias Game Plan app, it's the ultimate sports betting and fantasy companion for the NFL, NBA, and MLB. Whenever you're a part of, whatever it is, whether it's a fantasy tournament placing bets or just a huge sports fan and stats nerd, the Elias Game Plan has everything that you need. Elias Game Plan is a sports app from the most trusted name in sports stats. That's the Elias Game Sports Bureau, the official statisticians of U.S. Pro Sports League since 1913. You see and hear their trusted facts all the time from ESPN, your local radio broadcast, television broadcast. But now You too can have all the stats, facts, and team player updates in the palm of your hand, all backed by the renowned research team. We all give so many different stats here. We give stats out to back up every single one of our bets, every single one of the piece of information that we give you all across the SGPN. And we need you to understand that our stats and our takes and everything that we share with you is backed by cold, hard facts and not just our intuition. Are there gut plays? Yeah, absolutely. But they're backed by the research from the Elias Game Plan app that we can give to you with full certainty that we are giving you the information you need. So take this NFL season to the next level. Download the Elias Game Plan app today. Choose from the plans when you subscribe. You can either do weekly, monthly, or annual, but I can get you 25% off your first month when you choose the monthly subscription. Just use our promo code SGPN25. Find the Elias Game Plan app on the Google Play Store or the App Store and use that promo code SGPN25. No House Advantage is changing the game by offering the most dynamic fantasy sports platform available today. Play in pick'em contests versus other people or for the shot at winning $250,000 plus in cash. Download the app, choose a contest, select your player props, earn points for correct picks, and climb the leaderboard for your shot to win big money every single day. You can also test your skills versus the house and 20 times your entry if you hit all of your picks. Bet on up to 5 player props, over-unders, or individual player matchups across every major sports league, including NFL, NBA, MLB, PGA, MMA, and NASCAR. Make sure to check out No House Advantage today and experience daily sports redefined, because it's not just how you play, but where you play. You won't want to miss out on this. Sign up now with the promo code SGPN at nohouseadvantage.com or download the app to get a first deposit match up to $25. Not to say that you could fit both of Chase Elliott and Kyle Larson in your lineups at the same time, but if you wanted to, you're going to need a little help on the back end of this to do it. And we are going to give you two drivers that hopefully, or even just a step down from both of them, if you want to get funky with it and put one of these guys as your high price guys and load up on mid-tier guys, then these are your guys for you. So, Cody, why don't you hit him with your mid-tier driver?
Yeah, this is kind of a beautiful section to be in this weekend. I'm going to go a guy I gave out again on the NASCAR Gambling Podcast. Again, a lot of times DFS and the gambling part of things kind of cross over. Austin Cindric is another guy I really like this weekend. In the 5 races that we've run on road courses this year, his worst finish is 13th. He also had a second place at the Indy Roval or at the Indy Road Course race. He's won 5 Xfinity Series races on the road courses. His average finish in 3 starts at this track in the Xfinity Series is 3.7. He knows his way around road courses. One of those guys we talked about has that road car, whatever you want to call it. Like, he grew up that way, racing that kind of stuff. He's got a lot of experience with that, and he's transitioned that into the from. I mean, in the Xfinity Series, we saw it. He dominated for a while on the road courses before Allmendinger kind of came in and started battling with him a lot more. But Cindric has been really good, and he's translated that very well into the Cup Series, into this new car. Again, an 8th place, a 5th place, a 7th, a 2nd, and then the 13th place finish at Watkins Glen. But all solid finishes. He's only 8,600 this week. So he's another guy that I feel like he's going to give you a solid finish no matter what. And he has the opportunity to lead some laps, put down some fastest laps. So Austin Cindric is a guy I can't pass up at 8,600.
I don't really understand why he's not as heralded, I guess, as a rookie as he should be, I suppose. I mean, he does come in, he wins the Daytona 500, and it's kind of like, well, that's what we expected out of this kid, right? We expected him to be outstanding and to just come into this circuit and take it by storm. And then all of a sudden, it was just a drop-off. And now he's steady having to climb his way back into the conversation, which, I mean, he's doing. Don't get us wrong. I mean, he's putting together solid finishes. You talked about it on the gambling show as far as how he's a rookie. He's still in the playoffs, can still make it into the next round if he has a good showing at this race. And yet here we are sort of, you know, every once in a while dismissing him, thinking, well, okay, but he's just a rookie. Well, he's just a rookie, but he's a damn good rookie. And he's really proven to be a driver that you will have to pay attention to going forward. It may not be the rest of this year, and you know, he may have a good showing at this race, but you know, his season could very well, well, his regular season or his playoffs could be over after this week. But again, I feel like this is somebody you need to put on your radar anyways, just going forward and even talking about next year's futures for that matter.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, obviously that number two car for Penske is a elite car. It's on one of the better teams, and it's been, I mean, it's a historic car. We saw Rusty Wallace win so many races in that. Brad Keselowski, Kurt Busch was in it for a hot minute. And then Brad Keselowski, was there another driver somewhere in there? I think Allmendinger might have ran a few races in that car. But anyways, but Brad Keselowski obviously for a long time was in that two car, brought Penske his first Cup Series championship in that car. Like, that is the heralded car. We even talked about it before the season. We weren't sure if he would get the number two car just because it is such a legendary car. Like, that's big expectations you're putting on a rookie driver to give him that number. Like, maybe you give him the 12 and you switch Blaney over or something like that just to not have the pressure of that number. But he's lived up to it. I mean, he's outlasted Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch, Martin Truex Jr. in the playoffs right now. Again, this is before the William Byron hearing on Thursday, where I believe they'll give him his 25 points back, but we don't know for sure. But he's tied at the cutoff line with Chase Briscoe, so he would be the car out because of the tiebreaker. But he has a really good shot of making it to the round of eight. And for a rookie just in general, that would be crazy. But a rookie in a year like this that's been so up and down, there's been so many things to learn and change and everything. He has just adapted very quickly. And he's one of those guys, too, that got the nepotism thing. Like, yeah, his grandpa or his dad doesn't own the team, but his dad is Tim Sindrick, who runs the IndyCar operations for Penske. Like, he's very, like, vice president of Penske or something like that, like, very high up. And so there was those detractors, too, and he's shut those people up, and he's run really well. And again, on road courses, he's run extremely well. So I'm going to keep riding that. And again, a guy I'm not hearing a lot of talk about this week. Like, there's not a ton of people, from what I've heard anyways, that have been talking about him, which I like when it comes to DFS guys like this. It's almost like a little gem that people aren't picking up on, because you know he can do well and he can be somebody that can be a little different for you and perform well.
Indeed. Well, I'm going to take a guy that everybody's talking about, and I honestly don't care. Cody knows that I went into this season. I'm a big, huge Jimmy Johnson fan. I have been for years. You guys already know that. If you first time listening to the show, that's my background. I'm a huge Jimmy Johnson fan. Always have been. Always will be. I didn't have a driver. Don't have a driver right now still. But this next guy's steady been making his case for me. Now that he's going to be a full-time Cup driver again next season, I may go ahead and just fully embrace this 16 car and AJ Allmendinger. Look, I don't even really have to make the case for AJ Allmendinger. He makes the case himself. We talk about him being a road course ringer before there really was a road course ringer term. But look, Xfinity style, dude's won the last three races here. Like, cut and dry. I mean, I know this is not a different, this is not the same car. It's a totally different situation. But when you win three races in a row on a track, I don't care what you're driving. You could be driving a shopping cart and still turn in a good finish here. How has he done this season on road tracks? Well, Watkins Glen, he finished second to Kyle Larson. The Indy road course, dude was literally roasting in that car. He could not, I mean, when he got out, he melted. I mean, I don't know how they got him back together, but the dude literally melted. His cool suit wasn't working. He was running on fumes. You could hear it in his voice. There was just nothing left for this guy. And then there was a caution on top of that, which even added laps to it. And he still managed to pull out a seventh place finish. Could have won. I think if all things were equal, and if his cool suit was working, and if he didn't run out of water, I mean, just looking and watching him throw his water bottle is probably one of my favorite parts of the entire season. But, you know, if all that hadn't happened, I fully believe that he could have been up there fighting for the lead and fighting for the win. But still, a seventh place finish when the dude was literally in hell in that car. Not bad. Ninth at Road America, 19th at Sonoma. But that was a weird race. That didn't shake out the way any Sonoma race had before it. So can't really do anything about that. He wrecked out of Coda. 38th place finish at the Roval last year, but he does have one 7th place finish at the Roval in 2018. So, look, AJ Allmendinger is money on road courses. He won the Indy road course. He's finished 5th at COTA, couple of 7th place finishes at the road course in Daytona, won at Watkins Glen. I could sit here for the next 3 hours and preach to you the gospel of AJ Allmendinger. But all I'm saying is in your DFS lineup for $9,400, that is a steal of a price for a guy that should be above 10K at this racetrack.
Yeah, no, I love this pick. I mean, you made the case for him. And keep in mind the Sonoma race, he was running really well. He didn't have power steering fluid or power steering at all. And ran well there until his arms fell out and he, you know, ended up 19th or whatever you said, but he was running much better before that without power steering. The COTA race, he had a shitty finish, but if you remember, about three corners from the finish, he was leading the race. So he got, you know, him and Chastain and Bowman all got into it. Him and Bowman were on the losing end of that. So he's proven again this year and in this new car that he can do it. Now he's locked into the next round in the Xfinity race. We both think he's going to come out and probably dominate that race, possibly win it. He's going to have those laps the day before. Translate that. It's a different car, but it still translates to the next day. The laps on the track like that, where you need to, you know, braking points and all this stuff, where to set up moves and stuff. It's all stuff you can translate and learn on Saturday to Sunday. So AJ is a play that I absolutely love as well.
And the fact that he's only pretty much run road course races in the Cup Series car this season, like that's, he's not having to relearn oval to road course. It's basically been a road course setup for him in those cars. So I do like that aspect of it as well. Yeah, he's going to be focused on an Xfinity championship, but look, when it comes to road courses, man, you're either going to know how to do it or you're not. And AJ knows how to do it. So like I said, steady making the climb to be my, he may have topped Ross Chastain, Cody. That was the early favorite, but I think AJ Allmendinger is stealing my heart more than Chastain.
It's a good pick. The only thing I would caution you is he's a little older, so you're not gonna be around as long as somebody like Chastain.
I don't need a long-term commitment, buddy. I just need someone to cheer for the next few years till I can pick a younger kid, right? That's how there is. Book it. All right. Speaking of that, I think we have a couple of a nice mixture of that down at the bottom in our bargain picks for, whoa, man, why that finger slipped? Did you hear that? I didn't. We'll be back. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about our low price drivers after this. It's after hours, kids. Just listen carefully.
Late night with Rod and Cody.
Take your Cavassier and hold it tight. Jesus Christ, we're off the rails. All right, we'll be right back. I drink coffee. How do you think I could stay this chipper this late at night? And the people that help me stay this chipper late at night is Trade Coffee. I got to tell you right now, folks, there are many, many things in life that I enjoy. But what I enjoy the most is coffee that I love delivered to me exactly when I want it, at the intervals that I want it. And of course, just exactly what I need when I need it. I don't know any other place in the world that will give me coffee on demand and the kind that I actually like. But Trade Coffee does exactly that. And they can do exactly that for you. And if you don't like the kind of coffee that I like, because let's face it, folks, I like coffee that's like rocket fuel. I need to keep myself way in the red all day long, a lot like these NASCAR drivers. But you may not want that. You may just want a nice little gentle stroll through the Roval this weekend. You may not want to redline it the whole damn way. That's all right. Trade Coffee is going to do that for you too, because if you take their quiz, they'll match you with exactly the kind of coffee that you want. And not just that, folks. It's not just random coffee that they're going to match you with. It's coffee that they've tasted themselves, so they know exactly what they're sending out to you is the most quality tasting coffee that you're ever going to have in your entire life. I don't know why you're not trying this right now. Go take their quiz at drinktrade.com/SGP. You're going to find out the kind of coffee that you like, and then they're going to send it to you, and they're going to tell you how it tastes, because that's exactly what they do. Also, if you want to support small businesses and brew the best cup of coffee you've ever made at home, it's time to try Trade Coffee. And right now, Trade's offering you a total of $30 off your first order plus free shipping if you go to drinktrade.com/SGP. Again, that's drinktrade.com/SGP for $30 off your subscription to the best tasting coffee in the country. We toss out, like I said, a lot of stats here, a lot of stats across the SGP, a lot of odds, a lot of odds shopping, all kinds of promotional codes and everything like that. Look, we all now turn to one single source to do that instead of having 15 million tabs open across everybody's browsers in the country. OddsTrader.com. OddsTrader.com is the one-stop shop for all of the odds across all the major sportsbooks. Plus, compare the different sign-up codes from promotions and sportsbooks to get the best deal. You get player stats, key game stats, injury reports, projected game day weather. It's going to make you the single most informed bettor in the entire world. Again, you get the player stats, you get the key game stats, you get handicapping, you get projected game day weather, plus you get a bet tracker to keep track of all your betting activity and your games. Where can you find all that? It's oddstrader.com/bluewire. Oddstrader.com/bluewire. OddsTrader, it's the number one site for all of your game day bets. I don't know about you, Cody, but I love me a good bargain, and I love finding good bargains, especially on DFS, because that means that I can spend up for an AJ Allmendinger and a Kyle Larson lineup. So let's give the folks a nice little salary relief. Whoever made up that phrase is, well, they're just shitty. So, all right, give us your low price driver.
All right, low price-ish, but you can make this. You can make, so I was trying to, obviously, I always try to fit our entire guys in there. They don't all fit, but if you choose either the Kyle Larson or the Chase Elliott, and you, obviously I would say build some with both because they could both, you know, dominate and do their thing. You can fit the rest of these guys in there very nicely, and then you can squeeze in a cheap guy down there at 5,700 like Todd Gilliland that I talked about on the betting show that I really like this weekend. So he's not an official play, but a little bonus for you. But a guy that I can't pass up on road courses, Michael McDowell, 7,300. Why is he so cheap? I have no idea. I don't care. I will take him. Again, in five races this year on road courses, similar to Austin Cindric, who's all the way up at 8,600, Michael McDowell's worst finish was 13th. That was to open the season at COTA. Since then, a third place at Sonoma, sixth place at Road America, eighth at the Indy Road Course, sixth at Watkins Glen. McDowell has been known for quite some time to be a very good super speedway racer and a pretty good road course racer. He seemed to have improved that even more with this new car. His actual, I mean, that team has improved a lot in general. As far as what they do week in and week out, he had more top 10. I don't remember, I have the number right in front of me, but I think I saw is like more top 10s this season alone than he had in like his first four seasons with the team or something like that. Just crazy how much better they've been doing, how well they've been doing. Obviously, you know, he won last year the Daytona 500, made the playoffs, didn't do that this year, but he still had a solid season, and he's been very consistent at road courses. Again, guys that can be consistent and give you good finishes. We'll see where he ends up qualifying because you kind of look back most recently at Watkins Glen, he actually qualified third, but he finished sixth and still scored you 41 points. That's a lot of points for a guy down at this 7,300 point range. Go back to the Brickyard at Indy. He actually started seventh in that race. So pretty good qualifying efforts from him. Again, Road America, he started sixth there as well. But even if he's starting up front in all these races, start sixth, you finish eighth, you start seventh, you finish eighth. You start third, you finish sixth, he's still getting you 34 points, 36 points. 41 points. So again, it's there no matter where he starts. And I think that will scare people away. If he is starting up in the top 10, people are going to be like, I need to get place differential. Place differential is important and you're going to need some, but you can also rely on a guy like this to get you a good solid finish. He could potentially lead some laps. We might see him, you know, swing some stage stuff and take some lead laps and all that. Michael McDowell, 7,300 is a no-brainer for me.
Well, I mean, you have to just look back to the last few races for him. Like 71 points last week, right? 31 the week before. Okay. 39 the week before that. Like, they're all solid points finishes for DFS. And at that price range, you're looking at, what, 3 to 4 times what you're paying for him. So, I mean, that's what you want out of a guy that inexpensive. You want at least 3 times what you're getting out of it. You can take 4 if you want. But, you know, a good solid points day is what you want. And somebody who's not going to really dip down below that 20-point range. And he doesn't do that.
And if he does start bad, too, that's even more of a reason to play him, because then he can give you place differential on top of it as well. So I'm going to say no matter where he starts, I'm going to end up playing a lot of Michael McDowell for that reason.
Yep, definitely not a bad idea. I'm trying to scroll through here real quick to see if there's one place where he started really bad. Oh, yeah, here we go. So the M&M's fan appreciation back there, the 400, started 25th. Finished 8th, got you 53 points on the day. He was $6,500 that day. So that is a classic example of what a Michael McDowell can do for you. All right, I'm going to give you the guy that Cody wished that I wouldn't have taken, and that is Chris Buescher. Not a name that anybody's going to really be after, right? It's not a sexy name. It's not a guy that everybody's talking about. It's not your Larsons. It's not your Elliotts. It's even not your Allmendinger. But Buescher on road courses this year alone, look out, right? Coda, we could toss that out, 21st. But then he finished 2nd at Sonoma, 6th at Road America, 10th on the Indy road course, 9th at Watkins Glen. I don't do very good math, but that's 4 top 10s in a row on road courses this season. Not bad for a Chris Buescher. What did he do last year here? Well, he finished 3rd. So he's actually gotten something figured out over the last 5 or 6 races here. On road courses, and his price right now is $7,800. DK figured this out, or the DFS gods figured this out, and now they're pricing him as such. But still, $7,800 for the type of finishes, for 4 top 10 finishes in a row for Chris Buescher is actually not bad. And again, I'm talking Chris Buescher, and that 17 car is not necessarily one that people are going to be focused on. So that's going to give you an opportunity, I think, to differentiate yourself. So, I know you were going to make a case for him too. So expound on our Chris Buescher love for this week.
Well, first of all, it's Christopher Buescher. Okay.
Oh, Rod. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
My Dale Earnhardt Jr. officially renamed him, which his mother was happy with. So it's Christopher now. He won a race as Christopher. I think he's going to keep it. But he's just been really good at road courses this year. I mean, 21st at Coda, open the season, that was an okay finish. But Sonoma, he finished 2nd place, had a chance, I think, to run Suarez down in that race. 6th place at Road America, a 10th at the Indy Road Course. And if I remember correctly, that is the race where his car was on fire on pit road. And he still ended up coming back and finishing 10th. So pretty decent. And then again, a 9th at Watkins Glen. So the last 4 of the 5 road courses in the top 10, not a guy you ever thought of when you thought of road courses before, but he's proven this year he's been very solid in that 17 car. I know they didn't make the playoffs, but they've found some speed. They found some momentum. He won the race at Bristol, actually just outraced people and won the race. Not a fog shortened race, not fuel mileage, not like just won the race flat out on speed and ability. He can do it. We've seen some speed from the 6 car get in the pole the next weekend. I think it was at Kansas or wherever it was the next weekend, but that team has gotten some speed. They've got some momentum, and Christopher Buescher has been doing well. And I don't think that's going to stop now. And the way he's done at road courses this year, especially, this is the play for me. And like you said, this was the one that you stole from me. I was going to put him in there. I started typing his name. I saw you'd already had it. I thought about just leaving it because I like him that much where we could both give the play, but I figured I'd give out McDowell as well because I think he's another great play, but love me some Christopher Buescher this weekend.
Yep, Christopher Buescher is the, I think, cheat code, to be honest with you, because I don't know that a lot of people, because most people are just going to look back at what he's done lately. You know, the 25th at Talladega, the 30th in Texas. He won Bristol, but people can easily dismiss that. 15th at Kansas, 26th at Darlington, 27th at Daytona. Yeah. It's easy to look at that and say, yeah, I'm not going to pick Chris Buescher, because when you look at it in the DFS version, it's like 17 points, negative 2 points, and then all of a sudden, boom, 134 points. You're like, oh, where'd that come from? And then he goes back to 23rd, 23 points, 18 points, negative 2 points, 33 points. The average NASCAR DFS player is going to look at that and go, yeah, I'm staying completely away from that. But they're not going to dig deep enough to understand that at road courses, as a top 10 driver, he's definitely gotten you a decent amount of points in those. So you don't be that person. You figure out that a 33 points at Watkins Glen is not a bad idea. 44 points at Indy, obviously good for a $7,500 driver. You know, you can go back all the way to even the 39 points that he got there at Road America. So, I mean, again, lots of good stuff from Chris Buescher, and for his price at $7,800, saving you a little bit.
And again, I mean, $7,800, and that's, you know, kind of our lowest plays is him and McDowell at 73. So you can squeeze, if you choose between Elliott and Larson, you pick one of those guys, then you throw in the Cindric, you throw in the Allmendinger, and then you go with the Buescher, the McDowell, that leaves you still 6,300, and there's still some decent options down there. And most glaring to me, it would be Todd Gilliland at 5,700. So this is just kind of the area where a lot of people skip over, because you get, you know, two high priced guys, then you grab a mid tier or two, and then you got to go to the bottom of the barrel. You don't necessarily need to do that as much this weekend. And there's some names down there. You know, we've got some guys that are, you know, only racing on road courses, or kind of, you know, special racers or whatever, and the Lawrence Hesmans and Williams and Daniel Kvyat and Rockenfeller and Daly. None of those guys are really doing what they need to do for me, I don't think. We saw it at Watkins Glen, where we had a couple of those guys run, and was it Kvyat that was running really well in that race? I think it was the other F1 guy. I can't think of his name.
It was right the other F1 guy, but, yeah.
Yeah, but he was running well and then had an issue, end up in the wall. These guys just aren't used to these big, heavy stock. I mean, a guy like Connor Daly, a great IndyCar racer, yes, but IndyCar and NASCAR are two very, very different things. F1 and NASCAR, two very, very different things. I'm not going to mess around with those guys too much. I mean, I might throw them in a lineup here or two here and there just to try and be a little different, but you can build a pretty solid lineup. And again, it's all going to depend on starting positions and stuff too. Obviously, we don't have that info as we record this, so keep an eye on those things, because yeah, if you end up with Tyler Reddick starting 30th, you're probably going to want to play him, which means you might have to make a pivot somewhere else. But I think that that we gave out some pretty good guys to build around, again, depending on where people start and all of that. But yeah, like I said on the betting show, I'm really excited for this weekend. I think that I think we've got a pretty good handle on what we expect to see after, now that we're the sixth road course race into the season. I mean, there's more of this style of racing than really anything else. I mean, super speedways, that was our sixth race at Talladega as well, but there's so much chaos, it's much harder to predict there. But as far as road courses go, we've got a big sample size in this car on these teams with how these guys are doing, and I think we can use that to our advantage.
I concur. All right, well, I will give out all of the drivers that we gave out for this race. Cody started you out with Chase Elliott at 10,600. I gave you Kyle Larson at 10,300. Cody followed that up with Austin Cindric at $8,600, and I went with AJ Allmendinger at $9,400. Cody gave you Michael McDowell at 7,300, and I gave you Christopher Buescher at $7,800. Those are your drivers for our DFS selections. I'm going to give out one more in the discard after this too. I found one that I like. I dug a little bit, and I'm going to throw that into the Discord. So you can only get my exclusive Discord play in the Discord, sg.pn/Discord. You like that?
There you go. I love it. And that's where you can find the $5 contest we do every week. So jump in on that. And if you want to do some Xfinity, we don't have trucks this week, but I'll post those in there as well. See if you can come take down me and hard flex bro as well in those contests. So yeah, going to be a fun weekend. I'm pretty excited, Rod.
Fine. I'll deposit more money in the DFS account and take you guys on in Xfinity then. All right. All right, Cody, as we wrap things up, why don't you let everybody know where they can find you on social media?
Yep, you can find me on Twitter at Husker_Zeeb. Share all my stuff over there, fantasy football stuff, NFL stuff, NBA stuff, a little bit of everything, F1 stuff. Got an F1 DFS article coming out. That's going to be fun. A little late night racing till like a 1 o'clock Eastern race on Saturday night / Sunday morning. So get your bankroll built up a little more to enter those last few NASCAR races in there on Sunday morning. But yeah, follow me over there. And again, ratings and reviews help us a ton. Help keep this show growing and sticking around.
Indeed. And again, if you've made it to the end, just say, hey, listen, I've made it to the end. Love you guys or hate you guys, but I still made it to the end. Ha ha, you're still listening. Follow me on Twitter at RJ Villagomez. There's a link in the bio to everything I got going on, whether it's here on the SGPN or, of course, on the Sportsbook Review, where I give out my NASCAR picks of the week. And, of course, in between media, we're off this week, but we'll definitely be back next week with more breakdown. So much stuff going on. So much fun to be had still. We're still racing, folks. Still having a good time, despite NFL being king. And again, thank you guys for skyrocketing this show up through the ranks. We love you. We appreciate you listening. We got a weekend of racing to enjoy. Let's go racing and let it ride.